Hello and welcome to NJ Biz Conversations. I'm your host, Jeff Kanige. My guest today is Anthony Iacono. He is the president of the County College of Morris. Dr. Iacono, welcome.
Thanks, Jeff. It's an honor to be here. I appreciate it.
Thanks for taking the time. I appreciate that. I wanted to start with some news from the recent news from the colleges. Just in the past 10 days or so, the announcement of a $30 million Center for Health Professions that's going up on campus. Just for reading our coverage of it, it looks like there was a lot of folks involved in getting this to happen. How did it all come together?
Yeah, you know, this is a great semester where we are this year we'll break ground on three buildings, and the healthcare is the largest one of all and probably our most ambitious endeavor in and of itself. It's 70,000 square feet. We actually began working on this some years ago with a couple of trustees, and I really took a look at, you know, where's the college going? How do we really embrace the spirit of being a community college in terms of supporting the community? And one of those areas most certainly is the healthcare professions itself. So we work very, very closely with Morristown Medical Center, Atlantic Health, and other healthcare facilities in the region. We know that they're growing substantially and continuously need more medical professionals at all levels, right? In our case, we train probably about half of the nurses who work in the communities and about 90% of the radiography and respiratory assistants. We train paramedics. That's a special program we built with Atlantic Health. And then we've got a number of other programs that wrap around it. But although the idea was conceived some time ago, the funding didn't quite show up. The priorities of the state changed a little bit. And so we shifted and actually got funding to build our manufacturing center, which has gone exceedingly well to support our manufacturing industry throughout this region of Northwest Jersey. But happily, about a year or so before the pandemic hit, Senator Joe Panaccio called me up and said, there's a huge shortage of dental assistants, dental hygienists, and so forth. Could the college run these programs? And our answer was yes. But I remember saying, I'd have to put the dental chairs out in the parking lot. I said, why? I said, we're completely out of space in our healthcare areas. And he said, what do you need? I said, we would need a building. And frankly, you know, we have tremendous healthcare programs. Our pass rates on the national licensure exams the students have to take before they work is abnormally high to the national averages. The feedback we get from medical providers is exceedingly strong. But, you know, largely we're teaching in retrofitted classrooms. We'd really like to have a healthcare facility that is designed specifically to teach students who want to go into these professions and in an integrated manner, the way hospitals work. So, you know, with all credit to Senator Panaccio, he built a bipartisan coalition that was heavily supported by Senator Bucco, Senator Orojo, Senator Paul Sarlow. At one time, I think Senator Sweeney was on there as well. And then Senator Scutari came on, and the governor and his staff also supported, recognizing the overwhelming need and that these are wonderful careers, right? They're very high paying, family sustaining wages. But as we sometimes say, we're all living a little bit longer, but we need a little extra medical support to make that possible in a way that we're comfortable and satisfied with. So, you know, it's a kind of an everybody wins on this. But without Senator Panaccio, without those other senators who really worked very hard together to make it happen, we would not have this coming toward us. So we're excited. You know, here's yet another great example of what we've been doing in the past 7 years, creating more public-private ventures. The manufacturing building was built with county and state funding, and then the manufacturers outfitted the entire interior with all the equipment. Okay. And we're hearing positive things from the medical community that they'll be big supporters of what's going inside the building as well. So. Okay.
Well, that's interesting. And I want to talk about the manufacturing center in a second, but first, but just back to this one, I was going to ask you whether, I mean, when I talk to CEOs, leaders in the healthcare industry, when I ask them what their biggest challenges are, almost always number one is staffing. And I was going to ask you whether that was the impetus for this. It sounds like it pretty much was.
Yeah, it really is, right? Because again, you take an organization like Atlantic Health that's just growing leaps and bounds and provides exceedingly high quality care. But to do that, they do need a significant increase in medical professionals at almost every level in nearly all professions. Now, obviously, we're a community college. We don't train the medical doctors, the surgeons, right, the anesthesiologists, but we do really, really excel with RNs and other positions around that. And for every reason, we know we can do dental hygiene, dental assisting exceedingly well. also. So we're confident in what we do and do it really well. We do our very best work with partners and great support from the community, and all those stars just lined up, making this very, very possible.
Okay. Now, I was just looking across the kinds of subjects that you're going to be teaching, the kinds of skills. It looks like a pretty wide array. Does that represent an expansion of the kinds of things that you're going to be teaching that you're able to do with the new building? Or have you been doing that all along? It's just going to be a nicer place to do it.
Well, it'll definitely be a nicer place, right? But it's also just the approach of, rather than teaching students for a certain program in one room, we'll be able to bring students together so they can work in an integrated manner. Because when you go to the hospital, you're going to have nurses, you're going to have doctors, you may have, depending on the issue, a radiographer, a respiratory therapist, and right, they're all working together. So it lets us do that more easily and better than we have in the past. So the space really does matter. Having a state-of-the-art facility that looks like today's hospitals makes a quantum difference, right?
It looks like today's hospitals, and people are in with other professionals or would-be professionals in the same space doing the same kinds of things.
Right. So, you know, you can expect a building where the students in our paramedic program, an ambulance pulls up, they take the person into triage. Then you have the nurses, medical professionals working with that individual, diagnosing the person and then advancing the care as needed. So, yeah, it lets us do those kind of things. It also will allow us to grow the programs because we're space bound right now. And that's not very helpful to the medical profession. They need more, not less. And so those are two biggies. But yes, we'll be able to, with more space, bring new programs in like sonography and other things that, frankly, we're out of space. We can't do now. And for our medical centers to do the very best work, they really do need professionals at all levels. So, yeah, we're going to be able to offer new programs and better space, more reflective of today's, you know, professional facilities, in a way that lets them actually work the way they're going to be working when they graduate from County College of Morris.
Okay. All right. And you did mention the manufacturing center. That's the Advanced Manufacturing and Engineering Center. It opened almost exactly 3 years ago, in November of 2020. You said it's been successful. How has it been successful? What have you been able to accomplish in that time that it's been open?
Yeah, that's gone so well. I wish we had another one side by side with that one, right? And so they're going full steam 5-6 days a week. They're going nights and so forth. But the beauty is, and we're building this the same way, is we really sat down with the manufacturer saying, what do you need? Mm-hmm. And how can you support us? And how do we do a better job of meeting those needs? So we, you know, in listening to them, they were very, very supportive in developing curriculum. They wrote a lot of huge checks, donated a lot of tremendous state-of-the-art equipment, and then agreed to give internships, apprenticeships, and hire those students, and then give us feedback. You know, where are we doing really well when they arrive and at their places of employment? Where do we need some additional support? So it's a continuous process that's gone exceedingly well, but we're able to do a lot of things we never could do before. We didn't offer welding before. Our welding is 5 and 6 days a week now. Every manufacturer needs welders, right? Some of the really advanced things like automation robotics, we weren't offering that before, and now we're able to move forward with those kind of programs. But, you know, our boot camp program alone that was funded through a United States Department of Labor grant means every 8 weeks there's a new cohort of machinists going out into the work world. And our partners in the manufacturing industry are clear about, hey, we'd rather you do the essential training with them. And then they have a clear understanding of what manufacturing is. They've got the basic skills. We'll do the specific detailed training.
Okay.
But they like that, rather than they take somebody off the street, do it, and then the person decides in 8 weeks, I don't really like manufacturing. I don't want to be a man. Right. We'll absorb that that level of risk and opportunity, and so that partnership's really flourished. You know, when you look at that also, I mentioned a few minutes ago, we're breaking ground on three buildings this year.
Right.
It's actually a continuum of four workforce partnership buildings. The manufacturing building was first in partnership with that industry. And then we just broke ground on the Morris County Vocational School District's building, which is a career building.
Okay.
Students will have a variety of choices, healthcare, technology, manufacturing, and a few others. So they'll be earning high school and college credits simultaneously, industry credentials simultaneously. And then we've got, alongside of that, we'll be breaking ground this Friday on our Center for Entrepreneurship and Culinary Science, which is in partnership with the Morris County Chamber of Commerce and other chambers supported by the county government and state government, but also with private businesses. training people, how do you launch businesses, right? Not just our own students. It'll certainly expand our business programs at CCM, but it'll be open to people in the community who want to launch a business or scale a small business to become a medium-sized business. And then, of course, the last one that we'll break ground on late next spring is the healthcare facility. Wow. So it's a very different road we're taking, but it's reflective of where the economy's at, what do our communities need, et cetera. And so it's really a continuum of four buildings designed to really give people opportunities they've never had and really be a bigger economic engine for Morris County and all of Northwest Jersey.
Okay. And the Entrepreneurial Center, I mean, that it seems to me that that's probably not the kind of thing most folks think county college would offer. And so that really does represent a departure.
It sure does, right? We've been asked for years, could we build an incubator? And the chamber was asked, could they build an incubator? And incubators are an entity themselves. They do involve a certain amount of risk, a great deal of capital.
Sure.
So ours really is not an incubator. It will provide, the chamber will provide a entrepreneurs in residence, a speaker series. So it'll allow just community members who want to build businesses to learn, this is what you need to do. Here's how you write a business plan. Here's the mechanics of funding, employment issues, a whole myriad of things you'd need to know to launch a business. And now for our students, it'll expand our current business program. And then it brings the two together, right? Our students will have an opportunity to work with business owners. We expect to see a substantial increase in internship opportunities for those students. We'll be expanding our culinary program and creating the Center for Hospitality Arts and our culinary and hospitality arts, basically. So we're launching a new center within that to train executive chefs because, you know, we see it. Hey, we see it as consumers. We go to restaurants. They're all hiring. They're all understaffed. And we love our restaurants. We just have one great one after another. So we'll continue doing what we do in the culinary program, but we'll scale it to really meet the needs of today's restaurants. And then you think about, so with the Center for Entrepreneurship, which is open to businesses to host events in, we'll be hosting a lot of events there. The culinary students have an opportunity to work with those events also. So students are going to get a lot of hands-on experience, a lot of internship abilities, working alongside industry professionals. So big win-win, basically.
Okay. All right. And just getting back to manufacturing for a moment, the college has a really good reputation. I mean, I've talked to manufacturers a lot, and the college really is highly thought of. I think mainly because of efforts like the ones you're describing. The New Jersey Manufacturing Extension Program added you to their honor roll at Manufacturing Day earlier this month. What did that mean to you? What does the recognition mean? And what does the relationship with MEP mean to the college?
So MEP is a great partner for County College of Morris. We really have a wonderful relationship. And in fact, you know, they had a great deal to do, as did our Morris County Chamber of Commerce, even getting the building.
Right.
At the time, John Kennedy was leading NJMEP, and they hosted some of their events right here. That brought a lot of manufacturers to CCM to see what we were capable of and gave us an opportunity to really hear from them. It also brought New Jersey's Manufacturing Caucus to CCM, where they had a chance to hear from the manufacturers, and they wanted to know, well, what do you need to get the workforce that is required? And they didn't want those companies leaving. They wanted them to stay here. They wanted them to grow. And kudos to our legislators. They really listened, and we all worked together. And the outcome was, we need a facility. The college could do a lot more training, increase its output substantially, but not in our current facility. It was basically, again, retrofitted classrooms,
right.
And there's only so much you can do with that. So that support, and that one was really led by the late Senator Bucco and the current Senator Bucco, and a number of others really just got behind that and pushed really hard. Today, Mike Testa is the co-chair. We met him through NJMEP, frankly, and we're now partnering with Rowan Colleges in South Jersey to help strengthen their programs and really make sure that South Jersey has what North Jersey has. Manufacturing is a critically important industry. I think there's over 11,000 manufacturers in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really is a confluence of organizations like NJMEP, County College, our chambers, And then really, really good visionary leadership on behalf of our assembly people and state senators. But it really brings it together. And then the industries themselves, whether it's healthcare or manufacturing or restaurateurs or whatever the case might be. I think New Jersey does this really well, by the way, better than most states.
Okay.
It's amazing how effectively we can be with one another.
Okay. I just want to broaden the discussion out for just a bit and ask you what it's like to be a college president these days. I mean, the pandemic was really difficult for schools across the spectrum, primary, secondary, post-secondary. How is the County College of Morris recovered? Have you recovered? Are you basically back to pre-pandemic operations?
Right. So the first part is how is it to be a college president? So it's unbelievably difficult and incredibly rewarding at the same time, right? I've been doing this for almost 30 years, and I can remember when the only problems we had in higher ed were finding enough rooms for all the students. Enrollment patterns have changed dramatically. And the other was our budgets were so big, how do you spend it down, right? We don't have those problems anymore, right?
Okay.
Demographically, the population has declined substantially. Mm-hmm. New Jersey is an outgoing state, not an incoming state. So we're not like some states that are going to get, 3 million new residents a year. That doesn't happen. We're the number one exit state for high school graduates. 38% leave New Jersey and don't come back. So we've got a lot of challenges here. Our enrollment is not, and I think this is true for most of New Jersey schools, is not anywhere near where it was pre-pandemic. Okay. And although it's coming back, our numbers are up this past year, it's coming back really differently. So students today in smaller number, right? So 20 years ago, population declined. People weren't having as many children. Now it's time to go to college. People didn't have as many children as we wish they had 18 and 20 years ago. And then we see in the recession, it declined again by another 4.6%. So we expect in about 18 years, we're going to feel it again. Population smaller, that's an issue. Students aren't looking for the same things, right? They're very, very interested in two things. Programs where they can see the career. It's indicated by the title. Nursing, mm-hmm. they know where it goes. Right. Engineering, they know where it goes, right? Cybersecurity, they know where it goes. I majored in history. I think those are phenomenal majors. Moms and dads are a little bit leery about some of those today. They're worried. Are you going to get a job? They absolutely get jobs. The jobs pay well. The satisfaction levels of people in those professions are very, very high. But at the moment, that enrollment has backed off precipitously all over the nation in those programs. We're working a lot to help people understand they're relevant, they're in demand, et cetera. But there's a challenge with that right now, in all fairness. If you look at national registration rates for those programs, they have declined just dramatically, while others have increased. So it's coming back. It's coming back very differently. And we're also seeing a lot of students saying, I don't really want to get a four-year degree. I'd like to do something and go to work sooner than later. We're seeing more students who say, I don't want a business administration degree. I want to own my own business. We are a much more entrepreneurial, risk-taking society. These kids grew up looking at Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk, and they believe, not that it happened for those two entrepreneurs, but they believe if I get started on Monday, by Friday, I could be a billionaire. And they're launching in those directions. My generation was very different than this current one. And so, yeah, the patterns that we've long known and relied on are not there anymore. They're different. You've got to be more nimble. You got to really pay attention to what's going on in the business world, how people are consuming, what today's students. Look, we watch all the way down to what's going on in kindergarten, elementary school these days. How are they learning? What do they want? And imagining the future based on a myriad of factors, from the economy globally, locally, to consumer spending habits, to population demographics, and more.
Well, that leads me perfectly to the last thing I wanted to ask you about, and that is the future. You mentioned the groundbreakings that you've gotten going on. I'm just curious as to what you think the college, your college, county colleges, community colleges in general, higher education in general, what's that going to look like in 5 years? I mean, there's a big question about affordability. You've touched on that a little bit, the enrollment trends. Are you optimistic about the next few years?
I really am. And I think anybody who is able to see out a little bit, but see things differently, should be. There's a lot of promise. First of all, I think that what's going to be necessary is even more partnerships, even stronger partnerships. Higher ed cannot be an entity unto itself. It really needs to integrate into its communities. It needs to integrate to where are their states going? Where is the national government? And globally, where are things going? So that's step one, right? Increased partnerships and how we do things is paramount. Also, technology is now moving faster than anybody get their heads around. We're sitting on the very, very dawn of AI. That's going to be, whether you like it or don't like it, completely transformational, right? And you remember when the internet came out, some people lost their minds. I remember some of my fellow academics going, this will ruin everything. People won't use the card catalog anymore. Oh, dear God. Well, it's true. Nobody uses it, right?
What's that?
yeah. But in so many ways, it has profoundly changed the world, how we all live. We can't imagine not streaming, not having an internet to jump onto. And AI will profoundly change the way we all live, work, and play also, right? Okay. So we need to be prepared to embrace the technologies of tomorrow, not to try to shun them or imagine there was a time people thought, well, let's regulate the internet. Yes, good luck. You know, and people are very innovative and they find their own way there. And then, you know, the other biggie is higher ed is going to have to become much more entrepreneurial in itself, particularly for funding purposes. States don't fund the way they once did.
Right.
We have had to, at my school and many others, take a more entrepreneurial spirit, which is not entirely bad. It's forged a lot of partnerships, and we're really just having to pay more attention, not only to what we think we should be doing, but what do others think we should be doing? How do we meet those needs and demands? So the future is bright. It's humongous. Look at the students who are showing up. Wow, they're coming to us in ways we never, in very good ways, we never could have imagined. You know, my generation didn't show up going, I actually already own my own business. I know I'm only 18 years old and I want to take this thing global, right?
Okay.
But here they are. I mean, that used to be the legends of Bill Gates and Steve Jobs in a garage. Right. Now it's an everyday occurrence. That's exciting to have the opportunity to work with students. You know, we're a community college, so the pandemic put over 1 million Americans out of work.
Right.
A lot of those people went back to their local community colleges. Our population soared. With older students who didn't want to just upskill, they wanted to switch careers entirely, do something that they'd always dreamed of. And so I think the role of community college is vital. It's vibrant. And our future looks very, very good if we're willing to make the changes that we know we need to anyway.
Okay. Well, that's a good place to leave it. I hope you'll come back and talk to us a little bit more about those changes and how they're going.
I'd be absolutely thrilled to. And again, hey, we rely on NJBiz. It guides our future as well. So thank you for the work that you're doing.
Oh, well, thank you. Anthony Iacono, president of the County College of Morris, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it.
I enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
And thank you all for watching. Until next time, stay safe, everyone.